This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dog days no more. Preseason week 3 kicks off tonight with a pair of games. Colts, Bengals, Bears, Chiefs. Some line movement we'll hit you with in a bit. 2 weeks from today, we begin the NFL season in earnest. 2 days from today, we start college football. You'll love to see it. You also love to see a couple of great guests on tap today as we welcome you into this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line. Jennifer Piacenti is going to join us later on this hour. Get you set with some potential fantasy football sleepers. Does a great job covering both betting and fantasy content for Sports Illustrated. And in hour 2, Mike Palm in studio with us here at Circa Resort and Casino for the final half hour of the program. It is contest sign-up weekend here at Circa. People getting set for Circa Million and Survivor. Get the latest on that as well as Palm's Pressing 3. But we will jump right in here, Michael, with some news because in the last 30 minutes, we got news from your beloved Eagles here. The Commanders traded wide receiver Jahan Dotson to Philadelphia of all teams who continue to load up on talent. We were just talking earlier this week about your top 5 skill position teams. The Eagles, I believe, were number 3 on that list, and now they add Jahan Dotson to this wide receiver room.
Yeah, interesting trade, because often you do not see interdivision trades, right? I mean, it takes a lot. And what makes this trade more fascinating is the Washington Commanders, who have this young player, Jahan Dotson, who's, you know, had fairly decent. He had 144 targets, 84 catches over his career. He's got 11 touchdowns. So they come in, and I know they didn't draft him, but he's a good young player with 3 more years under contract at reasonable numbers and potentially a 4th year if you pick up, if they franchise him. And they turn around and trade him for a pick that ranges somewhere between 90 and 96, mm-hmm. right? Eagles are going to be a good team next year. I don't think they're going to have the 63rd pick in the third round. So, and then you wonder, there was no other team offering a third? There was no other team offering anything better than a 90 to 96 pick. Somewhat strange. Now, his success rate getting open is 49.3. Not great. Yeah. So I know he's a first round pick, and I know Eagle fans are excited about all this, but you have to peel back the layer a little bit here, Stormy, to say a team rebuilding with a player under contract for 4 more years dumps him for a pick in the 90s. Just doesn't add up. Something's wrong here.
Yeah, this is a former number 16 overall selection, right? He did have a really solid rookie season, despite playing just 12 games that year, 7 touchdowns, 523 yards, averaged 15 yards per catch. Last year took a step back. It's no secret. But I also look at the Commanders as a team that took a massive step back. So
yeah,
looking at this Commander, like to throw it on the other side of things, Michael, look at the wide receivers. Depth for Washington now behind Terry McLaurin. It's Olamide Zaccheaus, De'Ami Brown, Luke McCaffrey, and Jamison Crowder. Like, there's not much there. So it is very peculiar that they're moving on from this player within the division. It's like, what was your initial thought when you were looking through the numbers of Dotson?
Well, my initial thought was he struggles to get open versus man coverage because he has such a low success rate at 49.3. So we know that. We watch him. He's not a physical receiver. Can he get open versus zone? Yeah. I think to me in Philly, he's now the 5th option, right? So they've got Smith. They've got A.J. Brown. They've got Dallas Goedert. There's 3 receivers. Barkley's the 4th receiver coming out of the backfield. Yeah. So Dotson's going to see single coverage most of the game. But what alarms me most about this is the fact that Washington, in a rebuilding era with a young player, and I realize they didn't draft him, but you can't have that mentality when you take over a team that's devoid of talent. You have to embrace whatever talent there is. And clearly, Washington, whether you agree with Adam Peters, whether you agree with Dan Quinn or not, they don't see this player as a building block. And so they rather go with Luke McCaffrey than they would with Dotson for 3 more years. Somewhat strange, you know. When I saw Dan Quinn yesterday come out and say, I'm looking for a number 2 receiver, red flags went up.
Right.
And let's be very clear here, Stormy. This trade just didn't happen today, okay? Washington's been shopping Dotson all throughout the league. This was the best deal they could make. If they could have found another trade partner anywhere else, AFC, NFC West, North, South, they would have taken that. But they settled for 90 to 96. That's somewhat strange.
Very peculiar, I would say. The Eagles, by the way, an odds-on favorite in the NFC East, minus 120. The Commanders, they're in their young rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels, 9-1. The Falcons also continue to invest in their defense, Michael. In less than a week, we see Matthew Judon get brought in, Justin Simmons, and then in the last 24 hours, they extend corner A.J. Terrell, first-round pick for Atlanta in 2020. He's entering his option year, agrees to a four-year, $81 million contract, 65.8 guaranteed. Teed, making him now the second highest paid corner in NFL history.
Yeah, and you can't find that on tape. I mean, he's not the second best corner in NFL.
Is this like they're paying him for what they think he can be, not for what he's done?
I think that's very well said, Stormy. You know, to me, he's a good player, doesn't make a lot of plays on the football, but he's a good player. But look, this Atlanta team really believes they're close. I mean, they think they're good on defense. In spite of the lack of pass rush, which they've added with Matthew Judon, they believe they can cover, and they've improved their secondary with Simmons and Bates back there. And I think they feel like, okay, we're all in. And Arthur Blank is willing to spend the money to be all in. I mean, anytime an owner spends $100 million and then drafts a quarterback in the eighth pick overall in the draft, he's all in.
I wish that Cowboys fans could feel like their team was actually all in. I'm sure Femi would really appreciate that. But you're right. This Falcons team is absolutely investing up and down, trying to do whatever they can to get over the hump. Their win total is 9.5. Most people, at least on the surface, with what you see on paper with this team, think they're going to have double-digit wins, think that they're going to cash that minus 130 now ticket to win the NFC South, be a playoff team, and try to make a little bit of a push, which is a thing that they have not done in seven straight seasons. Michael, since we're already halfway through the block here, I want to make sure we get people the numbers on these preseason games that we do have coming up tonight, because we have a couple of them. This Colts at Bengals game for week 3. Colts are up from 2.5-point favorites to 6.5. The Bengals electing to use that joint practice time as their final work for their starters. Meanwhile, Shane Steichen and Indy are going to see their starters on the field. Anthony Richardson's going to get a little bit of time here. Colts are also expected to see their defensive starters get an entire quarter, potentially. What do you think of, or what are you looking for, I guess, tonight in that one?
Well, I'd like to see Anthony Richards with his timing and throw the ball in rhythm, not have to just take one look and go. I want to see a little bit of continuity within the Colt offense and see how this all kind of manifests itself moving forward, how their offensive line performs. We know it's against backups, but look, like I've mentioned before, when Chicago played Cincinnati's backup for 3 drives, they went 3 and out. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for a little bit of that. And I think ultimately defensively, if they're going to play their backups, I mean, Cincinnati's backups have played well in the past. So I think to me, that's what I'm looking forward to seeing is can they compete? I think what I've seen so far out of Cincinnati has been very good in terms of the backups, how they play, what they do, and how they prepare. So, you know, look, the game's on Prime Video. It'll be good to watch. We also have a game on NFL Network 20 minutes later with Chicago at Kansas City. Doesn't sound like anybody's playing in that game. So at least it'll be fun to watch. I'm excited to see Anthony Richardson. I really am, though, Stormy.
I think that Colts fans are as well, considering he only started and finished 2 full games last season. He obviously played in 4 before the injury knocked him out for the rest of the year, but he's somebody people were really excited about ever since, the mobility that he had in that short amount of time. It's like 12 full quarters. He has 4 rushing touchdowns. We talked yesterday about the impact potentially of a guy like him who has that dual threat ability as a fantasy type quarterback who, if he stays healthy, could be really usable there. I was looking to see if there might be any advantages in this game with the thought process that Indy's starters are going to start out here strong. The spread for the full game is 6.5. Also, the spread for the first half. So there's not any advantage there.
You're not going to outsmart the book on this one, Stormy. I think the book's...
Can lay 2.5 in the first quarter, and maybe that would be the way to play it.
I think that's a great play because, I mean, if Anthony Richardson doesn't come out and lead him down the field for a 7-0 lead and the Colts defense doesn't shut down the Bengal offense, I mean, you should be 7-0, 10-0 in the first quarter. You should be.
I think if you're playing that game, that's the way you go, right?
Right. I think you go first quarter and then get out of town. I don't think you want to deal with, you know, because once backups get back in there again, mm-hmm. anything can happen. Right. We saw that with the Raiders and the Cowboys. What didn't they go to a 7.5 point favorite, the Raiders, and they got blown out?
Yep. With this Bears-Chiefs game, the Bears were a 3-point favorite, now just one after Caleb Williams is ultimately not going to start. So you're going to see a lot of backups, a lot of depth in that game later on tonight. The total also down from 34-32. Totals in both of these games have ticked down. Colts-Bengals from 36.5 to 34, 81% of bets, 71% of handle on that under. And then the Bears-Chiefs, like I said, down to 32. Worth noting, and Dave Tooley wrote this in his best bets column this morning, unders have been very successful so far in this postseason. We saw last week unders go 14-2. They're 26-6 overall this postseason. But just because the unders have cashed so far doesn't mean they will again. Remember, if you know the trend, odds makers certainly know the trend as well and have adjusted accordingly. So as we see a lot of these totals start to tick down, just be cautious a little bit here, right?
Yeah, right. But here's what I would say in defense of the unders is that every coach, all 32 of them, want that clock to keep running. I think they want that. They want to get this over. They want preseason week three to be in the books. And that clock, keep it going, run the ball, care less about the score, just keep it going. Let's keep the ball in bounds. Let's keep playing so we can get over and we can start focusing on week one of the NFL season.
Everyone, please stay healthy. Get bubble wrap on if you need to, whatever it takes. So good. Speaking of that thought process, though, when we come back in this next segment, I want to dive into a handful of injuries that I want to ask you if they're meaningful or meaningless necessarily with the way some of these are being talked about, guys being held out of practices. Is this something that we should be concerned about as we get set for week one of the NFL season and some of these fantasy drafts, as I referenced? We've got news or noise coming up next. Also on the show today, looking at a number of season win totals, if we like, love, or hate them. It's also a no way, no doubt day. Lots to come. We are just getting started here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Lombardi Line coming to you from coast to coast, as always. Michael Lombardi out at his office in Jersey. Stormy Bonatoni live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. Talking all things NFL as we gear up for the final week of the NFL's preseason and set the table for week one. We got the news yesterday out of Denver. Head coach Sean Payton firmly announced Bo Nix will be QB1 in 2024, the rookie out of Oregon. And he spoke to why he liked Bo Nix earning the job.
I would say, you know, a lot of the off schedule movement throws, and I think he's been consistent, and it's not really a reflection on Jared or even Zach. It's some of the things that he's been able to do pretty quickly. His arm strength down the field, you know, all the things when we evaluated him, you know, you kind of trust your instincts.
Winning the job, of course, over Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson, as he referenced there, Michael. This wasn't a surprise to anybody that Bo Nix ultimately was named the starter, but I think you can really see Sean Payton had an affinity for this kid. He fits the system based on what we've seen from the preseason and should be able to hit the ground running here.
No question. And I think Sean knows on that huge playlist that Sean has in front of him that looks like the Cheesecake Factory menu that we often see Sean. And I've asked him about that. And he said, well, I have to have it that big. I need to see it because I can't read it. He'll have a specific game plan for him. And it will be a lot of multiple formations, movement, trying to create the run game around his movement. But I think what Sean said in that clip, which is very good, is that when the play breaks down, Bo Nix is the best player. And you saw that last year in the draft tape. You really did. I mean, Caleb Williams was very good on the second play, right? Every quarterback gets evaluated on play one. But play two is where you make your living. Milroe, for example, and he's a really good example for viewers to visualize this. So Milroe, early in the year, if you remember the Texas game in Tuscaloosa, he would take off from the pocket and just run. And you were like, why don't you just wait, be patient, slow the game down, make a throw. And by the end of the year, even against Michigan, he would move out of the pocket, set his feet, and throw it down the field. That's that second play that is not in the playbook. It's not coached. It's instinctive. Mm-hmm. And I think Bo Nix did that at Oregon as well as anybody. And I think that's what Sean really likes. The play breaks down, I make a good play. Sometimes, yeah, quarterback, the play breaks down, I do a dumb thing. Derek Carr does it all the time. He's like, your play breaks down, you're like, what are you doing, Derek? You know, like, just throw the ball away or just do something. But I think, to me, Bo Nix really excelled at that in college and excelled at that in the pros.
Yeah, I feel like the word I heard a lot about him throughout the back end of his collegiate career was just, he's an excellent processor and he can process quickly. He can get into the situation that you need to get into. He will be the first quarterback to start as a rookie for the Denver Broncos franchise since 1983. And a guy named John Elway, you may have heard of him. Preseason week three coming up, Broncos, a 3.5-point favorite against the Cardinals. Sean Payton did not announce how he'll be handling the preseason game this week at the quarterback position. But we know for the Cardinals, Clayton Toon is going to start for Arizona and appears to be the leader in the clubhouse over Desmond Ridder for that backup job where things sit right now. But let's get into some injury news, Michael, because there's a lot of players, many of whom have big names, that are sitting out of practice or dealing with a little soreness, a little lingering issue here or there. And I need to know if it's meaningful or meaningless. Run that news or noise open. Let's go.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Let's start in Cleveland here, Michael, where Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson was limited at practice yesterday with arm soreness. Of course, his season last year was cut short due to season-ending shoulder surgery. He has not been the same quarterback with the Browns that he was with the Houston Texans. Is this news or noise that he's dealing with some preseason soreness?
Oh, it's definitely news. I mean, when a quarterback has arm soreness, that's a concern, you know, and when you're coming off a shoulder injury with arm soreness, that's a concern. So, yeah, I think this is something to monitor. And, you know, look, they have Jameis Winston, they have Tyler Huntley. They're trying to trade Dorian Thompson-Robinson. We'll see how that works out. But for me, I think this is news. I think you have to be concerned. Deshaun Watson's only started 12 games. He threw for 1,116 yards last year, or 14. You know, in six games. So he has not been very good playing quarterback. And this is a team that needs him to play well to be an effective team and make the run as they open up the season as a 2.5-point favorite against the Cowboys. And I think a lot of people are going to lean towards taking the Brownies because of all the negativity. Yeah. But I'm not sure that it's at the point now where it's a little contrarian. And you might think about Dallas, because there's nothing that's happened in Cleveland with their offensive line, with their quarterback, that leads you to believe that this offense is going to score more than 20 points.
Yeah, had a flip of favorites in that game. Lots of money coming in on the Cleveland Browns because of what's been going on in Dallas. To your point, Deshaun Watson also a 40-1 shot for comeback player of the year. This next one, Michael, I feel like nobody's talking about for some reason. Joey Bosa held out of practice again, dealing with a wrist hand injury, has not been on the field since a joint practice with the Rams on August 4th. Is this news or noise? Because I think it's news.
I think it's news because he's always hurt. One of the things that bothers you about Joey is he can't seem to stay healthy. He's a really good player. He's an effective player. He's even been a role player, but he's not been a full-time healthy player. And so when he has a nick, whether it's a pain tolerance nick or whether it's a legitimate injury, you have to be concerned. It is noise. It is news.
Yeah. Back-to-back injury-riddled seasons, limited to just 14 out of 34 possible games in 2022, limited to just 5 as he had surgery to repair an injured groin. Again, big news, in my opinion, that he's still dealing with another thing here. Tyreek Hill also skipped some team drills during joint practices with the Bucs this week. We saw he had a brace on his hand the other day dealing with a thumb issue. The star wide receiver, favorite for Offensive Player of the Year, news or noise?
Well, I think it's news. Anytime a receiver has something wrong with his hands, wrist, you know, arm, shoulder, you have to be concerned. So I think it is news. And he sat out. Look, one thing about Tyreek Hill, he's a tough guy. He wants to participate. He's not going to run away from competition. So for him to sit out, it's news.
7-1 favorite for Offensive Player of the Year. He was on pace last year to break the record for single season receiving before dealing with a little bit of an injury. Kyle Shanahan, Michael, says he's not worried about Christian McCaffrey's calf. I got to tell you, I am, though, because we know in his history with the Carolina Panthers, one thing would kind of lead to another. While the workload was very different in Carolina than it is in San Francisco, and they've talked about potentially limiting his touches a little bit this year, I don't like the sound of a preseason calf injury and what that could lead to, news or noise.
I think it's noise, because I think one thing I've learned about Christian McCaffrey, he's been on teams that both my sons have coached for, is this guy is diligent, and I mean diligent. He will spare no time and nor expense to make sure he's 100% healthy. And I have full confidence that he will be 100% healthy.
Shanahan said he is obsessed with his regimen, trying to get back to full health. But fellow running backs Elijah Mitchell and rookie Isaac Garendo were also dealing with a couple of injuries. They returned to practice yesterday, which is a positive side, but pretty dinged up running back room right now. The Lions have been dinged up all over the place, but Dan Campbell says his plan is to get Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta back going next week. But then I saw a report that Penei Sewell left practice yesterday with a foot injury, limped to the bench, headed to the locker room. News or noise?
I think it's news, but I'm not sure it's real big news because they said he should be fine. It's a sprain. And the big fella's pretty tough, and he's really good. And I think for sure he'll play in a game opening weekend on Sunday night when we get to see Al's tie again, which we're all looking forward to see how that knot's perfectly tied. I fully expect Sewell to be there opening weekend. There's no boot. There's no cat. There's none of that. So that to me, it's news that he had the injury. But it's almost noise that he's not going to play.
Yeah, and I think it's news, too, that Gibbs and Laporta are expected to be back. Yes. Very important weapons on that offense. For the Buffalo Bills, they have been racking up injuries themselves. But head coach Sean McDermott said wide receiver Curtis Samuel could play week one against the Cardinals. He's been dealing with turf toe. News or noise?
I think it's news. I definitely think it's news. Because, look, you know, when you deal with these turf toe injuries, they're a problem. You know, it's not easy to come back from them. I think you have to be really careful how you handle turf toe, because with turf toe, it really is, it becomes an issue, and it lingers and it lingers. And if you don't get it handled, it's a real problem.
How about this last one? Mike Tomlin says Jalen Warren's out this week with a hamstring that was suffered in the week two preseason game, but it's, quote, not anything that's a long-term concern. We saw reports from Jordan Schultz, who said he could be out multiple weeks. Jerry Dulac said the expectation is he'll be ready for the season opener. So we're getting a lot of conflicting things here, news or noise.
Well, I think this is news, because I do think you can't predict what hamstrings are going to do, right? Hamstrings are so dependent on the player, depending on the severity. We don't know that. You know, the fact that Schultz has him out multiple weeks is probably true. But look, Warren needs to extend himself and needs to burst. Mm-hmm. And if there's no power in the hamstring, then he's not going to play.
We know he's important, as we have seen in the preseason, these quarterbacks for Pittsburgh really struggling so far. Their starting center is expected to be sidelined with a torn rotator cuff for a good amount of time. So this offense wants to get things clicking. Got to get healthy along the way as well. We're going to hit the break when we come back. Talking season win totals. And you know the Steelers are going to be brought up there as well at that 8.5.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Lombardi Line, live on VSiN.com, YouTube TV, the iHeartRadio app, wherever you may be watching or listening. We appreciate you hanging out with us today. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Jennifer Piacenti is going to join us live from Circa Resort and Casino. She's doing a fantasy football draft, which makes a lot of sense considering she is a fantasy and betting analyst for Sports Illustrated. No better place to accomplish both of those feats than right here at the world's largest sports book. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Michael, I want to play a little game here of like, love, hate, win total edition. And so when I say like, I want that to be like a lean. You lean one way or another and you like it. It's fine. A love is you think this is a surefire bet. I like the over on this team, whatever. Hate is we don't want to touch it. That number feels pretty right. You don't have a good feeling one way or the other, okay?
Got it.
All right. Let's start with the Los Angeles Chargers, because I think this team is very interesting because of the amount of talent that they lost. But you bring in a head coach like Jim Harbaugh that has people really excited and thinking that they are the second best team in the AFC West all of a sudden, despite what we saw on the field last year. Their win total is set at 8.5, and there's heavy juice, minus 155 to the over, plus 130 to go under. When you see this win total, is there a bet you like, love, or do you just hate it?
I like the over. I wouldn't play it. I think it's you've lost the best number. I also am affected by how they haven't really looked great this summer. Now, obviously, Justin Herbert hasn't played, but the offensive line hasn't looked good. We know Joey Bosa's injured. I would. Mm-hmm. I like the over, but I'm not betting it.
I feel like I really was enamored with the over and the thought process that maybe the Chargers could be one of those teams, because we see it every year, that goes from worst to first in the division. Maybe the Chiefs get knocked off the pedestal by a Jim Harbaugh-led team, because we know everywhere he goes in year one, they seem to have this remarkable jump. I just, watching them in the preseason, I've been losing some confidence. If Justin Herbert gets hurt, I don't know if you can have any faith, really, in Easton Stick.
They might have the first pick in the draft if he gets hurt the way Easton Stick plays.
Right?
I mean, I don't know how they're not going to trade for a quarterback. I really don't. And we're starting to see trades now, you know, with this Dotson trade. Mm-hmm. Carolina and Seattle just swapped two players that they were probably both going to cut, that they want to look at Michael Jackson, the corner. So we're going to see some trades now. This is, we're in trading mm-hmm. season, not for much value, but for roster figuring out.
Let's go to Carolina, because you'll be excited to learn. Dave Canales said today he wants Bryce Young and the starters to get some good work in Saturday's preseason finale against the Bills. Their season win total is 5.5, over minus 115, under minus 105. But we're playing like, love, hate here. Bet, lean, or don't want to touch it?
I lean the over, but it's a lean. And it's a lesser lean than the Chargers, because I'm concerned about their offense. I'm concerned about how good they'll be off in the offensive line. I know they spent a lot of money. It's a lean. I listen to Dave Canales. I've read what he's been saying. He's very optimistic about his team. I do think they'll be better on defense. Remember, this team beat Houston last year, and they beat that Super Bowl winning championship team, the Atlanta Falcons. So they have two huge wins on their resume last year. Their talent isn't as bad as they looked last year. I will say that.
I loved it when it was 4.5. Now I'm with you that it's just a like and it's a lean, because that extra game really does make a difference here. But to your point, the optimism about the team, let's take a listen to Dave Canales and his thoughts on the growth he's seen from his quarterback this training camp.
Consistency, number one, something I'm learning about him, just the way that he works every day, the way he goes through his process. That's fantastic. It's an attribute of a lot of great players I've been around. So I love that part about him. The different types of throws, he can speed it up quick. He can kind of lay it out there when he needs to, take a little bit off. He can throw guys away. All of the different throws that are required for an NFL quarterback, he puts them on display in small pieces every day we're out there. The thing that I was pleasantly surprised with, what I love seeing, is just the way he's extended plays and kept his vision down the field, because that's where you can steal some explosive plays and things can come alive that way. So those are a couple of the things that I've loved just kind of seeing from him firsthand.
And Michael, Dave Canales has become kind of known as that guy that can really help a quarterback take the next step. He feels he sounds very complimentary of Bryce Young. You think he can help him do that?
You know, this is kind of, when I was listening to him talk there, Stormy, it hit me that this sounds very similar to when Mike McDaniel came in to take over for Brian Flores. I think the last staff really didn't want to draft Bryce Young, and I think they held it against him. I think they wanted C.J. Stroud, and perhaps they were right. But I think Canales is overly positive, which is a good thing, which I think Bryce Young needs some positivity in his life. So they found somebody that believes in Bryce Young. And again, it goes back to my original thought about all these quarterbacks. If you don't get somebody who buys in, then you can't draft a quarterback. That's why the partnership between the general manager and the head coach when making this selection is critical.
And that's a great long tease as well, Michael, because when Mike Palm joins us a little bit later on in the program, there will be a little bit of Brian Flores talk and how that adjustment went through. Let's go from one Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, though, to another in Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. Their win total is 9.5. Do you like, love, or hate the win total here? What do you think?
I hate it. I hate it. As I said yesterday, there's a Bears tax you pay. You know, opening game against Tennessee, you know, rookie quarterback, a lot of new faces, you know, new defensive coordinator in Chicago, new offensive coordinator, new rookie quarterback, and they're a 4.5-point favorite. Would it bother me if it were 3? No. But there's that 1.5-point tax because Bear fans are so good. Bear fans will bet. Bear fans will put their money where their mouth is. And I think this tax at 9.5 is too much. I just don't see the Bears being here where they need to be. So at 9.5, Stormy,
yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, they're the Browns went to the playoffs. They're 8.5. The Texans are at 9.5. Do you think the Bears and the Texans are the same team?
Well, and that's what's funny, Michael. I think that CJ Stroud and what he was able to accomplish last year when everyone was counting them out is what has really helped move this along for Chicago, because people do believe in Caleb Williams. They do believe in the talent that is surrounding him on offense. And they do believe in what they saw the back end of last season when Matt Eberflus really took the reins of the defense and they improved. So I really feel like so genuinely in my heart of hearts that what we saw from Houston is like a huge factor in why we're seeing an additional tax on Chicago here.
No question. And you're paying a tax. That's right. It's, you said it well. An additional tax.
Yeah. How about my San Francisco 49ers? Their win total is at 11.5. Like, love, hate.
I want to say I like it. I think that it's going to be harder. We know this for Super Bowl the losers to come back. So that's got me bothered. I think they can be a better team at the end of the year. I think all these distractions will affect them early in the season as they get this offensive line. I like the under. I don't like the over.
And the under is -125, over +105, which I think is the way that most people lean with this. I heard somebody say something funny yesterday, Michael, that I think is interesting and I would love to have happen. That each year, San Francisco has this amazing regular season. They go deep in the playoffs and then it just falls apart. Even if you got a nice halftime lead, can't hold on, whatever it is, falls apart in the playoffs. Maybe this is the year where they have a 10-win season, for example, are not as great in the regular season. But maybe this is the year when they're not as good that they can turn it on in the back end of the year and win a Super Bowl. Like, I would love to see that personally, but I thought that was kind of an interesting take on San Francisco and their under.
I think to me, that's really what you want. You want the team to peak. Look, the Giants won 2 Super Bowls, one as a division winner, and they were wild card teams both times, right? So look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs were, I know they won the division, but they played the wild card round. They peaked at the right time. They found themselves. They worked through their problems. I think this offensive line issue in San Francisco with Trent Williams, who will be back, there's no question, how they sort through all this, the McCaffrey calf, when does finally we get that receiver who I failed to mention his name to come into camp? I think to me, it's going to take a little bit of time. You know, if they lose to the Jets, it would not surprise me, but it wouldn't diminish the value of their team. I think they're a good team, but it's going to take the preseason extends it a little bit into September for certain teams, especially how long the season has been for San Francisco.
Absolutely. Now, Michael, the question of all questions, the Pittsburgh Steelers season win total is at 8.5. Like, love, or hate?
I hate this whole thing. I would love it to take the under. But I'm not going against Mike. I'm going to pass on it. It makes no sense to pass, but I have no problem passing. I really am. I'm just not going to pass.
I also appreciate you not saying the stat. I'm going to hit you with one more real quickly because I think this is an intriguing win total as well. The Bills at 9.5. What do you think?
I like the Bills. I think that's just the right number. I would lay off that number. I think the Bills could get to 10. But I'm worried about the defense and I'm worried about Milano not being there and it's already started for him.
Yeah, I think that's a don't touch because of Milano, some of these injuries that have already started to impact the team. We've seen some odds movement there in the division as well, where they are no longer the standalone favorite in the AFC East after winning it the last 4 or so years in a row. The Jets, co-favorites, followed by the Miami Dolphins. We are going to hit the break when we come back. Excited to have Jennifer Piacenti in studio, senior betting and fantasy analyst at Sports Illustrated. You won't want to miss it.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's about that time where we are all scrambling, trying to figure out who we want to take in our fantasy drafts. And as we welcome you back to this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line, we have got you covered. In addition to Michael and I, we have a special guest here in studio, Jennifer Piacenti, senior betting and fantasy analyst over at Sports Illustrated. We are going to cover a lot of stuff because I need the lowdown. But what brings you to Vegas this week, first and foremost?
Oh, I'm super excited to be participating in the full-time fantasy women of fantasy football draft.
There we go.
Today at 2 o'clock. So we've got some other, you know, professional fantasy football women, and we're going to compete, and I'm going to kick their butts.
No.
So I'm putting you guys on notice right now. So sorry, guys.
Michael, she's locked and loaded.
I'm ready.
I love it. All right. So you're locked and loaded. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have the first, you know, I've been doing a bunch of cameos for people to pick their draft order. And they ask me, and, you know, I throw my names in a hat and I pick it out. And then they always ask me, like, who would you pick first? And I, you know, I really don't know. Like, I would pick Tyreek Hill first if it were me. Mm-hmm. Who would you pick, Jennifer?
So this is such a great question. I'm going to be, I guess, a bit of a homer right now. And I wore my shirt here to help manifest this. I hope Jeans made me the shirt, by the way.
For our radio audience, it is a CeeDee Lamb Cowboys shirt.
I'm actually, my debate is between Christian McCaffrey and CeeDee Lamb right now. I'm going to go with Christian McCaffrey. But in some drafts, I have gone with Lamb. I'll give you the pros and cons on both. So Christian McCaffrey, obviously we know he finished so far out in front of everybody last year, 100 points ahead of the running back that finished behind him. And he finished 30 points ahead of CeeDee Lamb, who scored the second most PPR points in fantasy leagues. So the only issue with Christian McCaffrey is, well, two issues. One, obviously we know he's already dealing with a bit of calf strain, and he's dealt with that throughout his career. So we know he could miss some time. We know that they may just decide to lighten the load on him. And two, little historical trend, the last time a running back finished number one overall in back-to-back seasons was 2002 and 2003, LaDainian Tomlinson. Mm. So it's been 20 years. So I have some concerns that we may have already seen peak Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he was so good last year. He's only getting older. That being said, he's a pretty solid pick. CeeDee Lamb, of course, the concern is the holdout. I am not concerned about the holdout. Jerry Jones is going to open his wallet. We've seen him do this before with Ezekiel Elliott, and he is going to be an absolute target hog in that offense. We saw him have the most targets last year in the league. That's going to continue. Dak Prescott led the league with 36 passing touchdowns. There is no real threat of the run game. They're going to have to push that ball downfield. Sure, they might double team CD and all of that. That's the you know, the con, but I truly believe we wouldn't have faded Davante Adams in this same position with the Green Bay Packers a few years ago. And I'm not going to fade CeeDee Lamb here because I think he's of that caliber.
Your thought process with Christian McCaffrey for fantasy is a very similar thought process that I have for him for offensive player of the year, because mm-hmm. the last time that you've seen the same player running back go back to back and offensive player of the year was Marshall Faulk back in the day. So
even longer.
So I'm like, just do not, it's not the year for Christian McCaffrey. He's not going to do it again. I hope that he continues to remain dynamic. I am a 49ers fan. I would like that very much. Your point about CeeDee Lamb, though, how do you feel about a lot of these players, like Ja'Marr Chase, for example, Brandon Ayuk, who's holding out, trying to get his extension as far as fantasy selections and how that might impact them?
It's really tricky. So right now, if you're taking those players, you are taking a bit of an upside shot, right? You're nervous. Like, I don't love the Brandon Ayuk situation. I'm just kind of avoiding him. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think he's going to go to the Steelers anymore after all that teasing. I don't think that would be good, especially if he watched the preseason game last week. Hopefully that turned him off of leaving the 49ers. But I'm nervous about it. So I've been avoiding Brandon Ayuk. Ja'Marr Chase is also a player that I tend to fade. I feel like I'm not 100% sold on Joe Burrow this year. I know sacrilege. I'm a little concerned about that.
I have a
risk.
Bengals futures ticket, Jennifer.
Oh, God. I hope you're right. But I don't know. Chase is another one that I'm avoiding. So the only one actually that is holding out or holding in or whatever you want to call it that I feel comfortable with right now is CeeDee Lamb. And I'm saying that because they're going at pick four. You know, it's that early that you have to choose them. If it was second round, I could get Ja'Marr Chase, obviously. Yeah. Like, you know, signing up.
How about sleeper running backs? I love Kenneth Walker. That's another name I give out on the thing. I would stay away from, and I love your thoughts, Alvin Kamara. I think he's kind of hit the wall. I think Kendra Miller could be a really good sleeper at the Saints. Your thoughts?
I have a couple of sleepers as well. I think for Kamara, the only place to draft him is in PPR leagues. So always check your league scoring. Where Kamara can help you is just by getting those targets. We know that Derek Carr had lots of fun connecting with Alvin Kamara in the second half of the season, and that could continue. There's not a large receiving tree in New Orleans. You know, you got Chris Olave, you got hopefully Rashid Shaheed, but he's kind of banged up. So I think that could add up. And he's going so late, it's okay. Kendra Miller, I mean, I'm a TCU Horned Frog, so obviously I love that idea. I hope you're right, I think. And he's going so late, it costs you nothing to take that shot. Jaleel McLaughlin's another one in Denver that it looks like he's going to overtake the role of Samaje Perine. And we saw him be very successful in his rookie season. So, you know, I think Javonte Williams and McLaughlin are good values where they're going right now.
I know, obviously, the guys at the top, Christian McCaffrey, Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, are going to get a lot of talk, a lot of play. And Bijan was on my fantasy team last year, and I was just constantly frustrated with the way that he was utilized, like a lot of fantasy owners around the world. While we're on Atlanta, how about Kyle Pitts as another guy who is this unicorn tight end that no one can seem to quit despite the production that we have seen in recent history? Like, is this the year that things shift for these players?
I do think it is. I think it's positive for both Bijan and Pitts. They're going to get an upgrade with Kirk Cousins. Now, the concern, of course,
massive upgrade.
The concern is he might get off to a slow start, right? So he has that Achilles injury, and it's on the opposite leg of Aaron Rodgers' Achilles injury. So it is on his power drive foot. So I'm a little concerned there for the first few weeks. You're going to have to like trust if he gets off to a slow start and just ride with it. But they've already said they want to deploy Bijan Robinson in a Christian McCaffrey-like fashion, which is like music to every fantasy player's ear. And then Kyle Pitts, look, he put up 1,000-yard seasons even with terrible quarterback play. And again, it's Drake London and Kyle Pitts. You know, like those guys should get attention from Kirk Cousins. And as we all know, we saw what Kirk Cousins did for Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and T.J. Hawkinson. I almost called him Sam LaPorta. I'm sorry,
Lions,
T.J.
Lions,
I'm sorry.
Crossover.
Let's talk about the Lions. I mean, what's your order on picking Lion players? St. Brown, Gibbs, or Montgomery? How do you rank them?
And LaPorta was a great fantasy target last year.
He was one of my sleeper picks. I was like so proud of that one. I had him in my high stakes leagues, and it definitely paid off. Cha-ching.
Well played.
But yes, exactly that order, Mike. As you said, Amon-Ra St. Brown is a first round pick to me. Honestly, if someone wanted to take him number one overall, I wouldn't blame them at all. There's a lot of reasons to argue for that. And then Jahmyr Gibbs, of course, there's a little concern there. Again, he's a little bit injured too, but they say they're going to get him back into work next week. But Montgomery has actually become an incredible value. People like think, you know, they're all in on Jahmyr Gibbs. I like Jahmyr Gibbs too, but like David Montgomery isn't gone. This guy was a beast last year, and you're getting him at a great value. A lot of running backs are getting, you know, even Raheem Mostert, he's going so late. He didn't just disappear. Raheem Mostert led the league in touchdowns last year. He's going to get goal line carries. So
I want to keep going down the sleepers route here because this, especially like in some of those later rounds when people are trying to find a diamond in the rough, like I don't care of position, who stands out to you?
Okay, here's a kind of a deep one. It's Brendan Rice.
Okay.
So this, one of the things I like about the new coaching staff in Los Angeles is we think we know how it's going to work, right? We know how a Greg Roman offense works. So there's two sleepers I like now from the Chargers. One of them is Brendan Rice, because we know that they like to have a strong run game, and they like to target their tight end, and then they like a deep threat receiver. Think Hollywood Brown, right? He was very successful for us in his first seasons with Baltimore. Brendan Rice has been lining up in preseason opposite Josh Palmer. Josh Palmer is obviously going to be the wide receiver one here. We have 250 vacated targets, okay? No Mike Williams, no Keenan Allen. There's a lot of passing that has to happen. I know it's going to be run first, and I know Justin Herbert's a little bit injured, but Brendan Rice is someone you're getting for free, and he has looked fantastic in preseason. He's clearly got the fast track to that deep threat role, that outside role, and he could end up being their wide receiver too. The other person I really like there, it's a tight end, and this is, again, last pick of your draft, maybe you can even wait, is Hayden Hurst. Greg Roman drafted Hayden Hurst in Baltimore to have what would become the Mark Andrews role, and it didn't quite work out. But we've seen Hayden Hurst be successful before. He is a pass-catching tight end, and I spoke to him personally a few weeks ago. And yeah, there's big plans for him to be involved, and we've already seen him be very successful in the preseason as well. So absolutely free pick.
That's awesome. I just want to make sure we let the people at home know, Sports Illustrated right now, what are some of the latest pieces that you have before we hit the break?
I've got deep sleepers for wide receiver, running back, everything. I got rookie sleepers. They're all there. Go check them out, si.com/fantasy.
And it's not just fantasy either. No. With Jennifer. She is killing it in the betting space. I know last week we had you on crushing MLB picks. You talked just about everything. So congrats to you on your success. And good luck with your fantasy draft at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Free from you guys.
All right. We'll see how it goes. Jennifer Fiacenti, everybody check out that work at Sports Illustrated. She also has an article. If you are struggling to come up with a fantasy football team name, she's got you covered with some really clever and creative ones as well. We're going to hit the break. Don't go anywhere. More Lombardi Line coming up after a quick timeout.